This week's Parsha, Parshas Balak, contains the very, very dramatic story of an unholy alliance between Balak and Balaam. Balak, the king of Moab, recognized this juggernaut, this steamroller of the people that had defeated Sichon Melech Amori, the great warrior that had defeated his own country of Moab, and had also vanquished the ferocious and fearful Og Melech HaBashan. He, of course, had a long memory, and he realized that this was not just incidental or accidental, but these were the same people that had despoiled and had escaped from Egypt through miracles and prophecies. So he very quickly grasped an important lesson, and it's to Balak's credit that he grasped this lesson. Erev Arechev, Ve'erev Asusim, V'anachnu V'shem Hashem Elokeinu Nazkir. The Jewish people, their battles, their march through history isn't dictated by tanks and guns, by planes, by military force expressed on the battlefield, but it is a journey of the spirit and a battle of the spirit. Hakol Kol Yaakov, we call HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashmi'ini Es Kolech, Ki Kolech Arev U'Marech Naveh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is a product of our own merit, as well as the pitch and the intensity of our tefillos. Balak grasped this message. Balak realized that the Jewish people could only be defeated through the spirit and not through the sword. So he drafts Balaam, the great prophet, the great heathen prophet, Yodea Das Elyon, who purports to know God's will. And he drafts Balaam to assist him in defeating Am Yisrael. Now, Balaam is a very challenging personality, one of the more challenging personalities in Tanakh. Chazal say, they base it on the Pasuk, V'lokam Navi K'moshe B'Yisrael, that Moshe was the surpassing Navi amongst the Jews, but that Balaam's Nevuah in many ways either equaled or in some ways transcended Moshe's Nevuah. On the one hand, Balaam presents magnificent powers of prophecy and potential, yet he meets an ignominious and ignoble death in Parshas Matos on the battlefield of Midian as we avenge the chait of Baal Peor. And certainly, Parshas Balak casts Balaam in a very negative light. Chazal amplified this negative view of Balaam. And the question becomes, what's really the difference between Balaam's form of prophecy, between Balaam's spiritual accomplishments, and the accomplishments of any actual Navi? And what are the differences in a larger sense, not just between Balaam and an appropriate and Jewish prophet, but what are the differences between the korbanos that Balaam sacrifices? He's not just a prophet, but he brings korbanos. We also bring korbanos. So this is a complex question. Can't be answered in 10 or 15 minutes. But there is one sort of hint that may help us. There's one key word in Parshas Balak that may help us drive a wedge in differentiating between Balaam's Judaism, or not Judaism, his religious experience, and our own. In the beginning of the Parsha, when Balak first dispatches messengers to try to draft Balaam, Perek Chavez Pasuk Zion, Vayelchu Ziknei Moab, the elders of Midian and Moab, travel to visit this famous prophet, Ukisamim Biadam. They carry wizardry, devices and tools for black magic, for wizard. The word kesem in the Torah, in the Bible, means magic. Balaam is not just a prophet. He's also a magician. He's a kosem. What is a kosem, and what is the difference between Balaam's form of religion and our own? Well, first and foremost, there's a fundamental difference between a magical view of religion and a substantive or existential view of religion. A magical view of religion seeks to appease gods by offering sacrifices to ingratiate yourself to your God and hopefully to elicit favorable treatment. The karbanos are not the product of a corresponding inner sensibility or movement towards God or religious awakening or moral piety. They're just bribery, appeasements. Bilam moves from mountain to mountaintop to try to satisfy or satiate or appease God so that God will allow him to violate his covenant of protection to Am Yisrael, almost as if Bilam wants to befriend God or appease the roaring and raging deity in heaven. That's why part of the Haftarah taken from Sefer Micha, part of the Haftarah to Parshas Balak, it's a Haftarah which describes Korbanos in a different light. We offer Korbanos as well, but not as a gift, not as a trick or a ruse or a bribe to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because the Korban is a device, is a catalyst to enable corresponding inner awakening, religious sensibility, a feeling of proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and based on that relationship of closeness and the religious responsibilities which that proximity demands, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will treat us favorably because we deserve it, not because we have appeased him or flattered him or in any way buttered God up, so to speak. Bilam's world is a world of magical religious experience, as if the entire religious experience is just a system of pulleys and levers, of machines and buttons, and if you press this button, you get that response, and if you press that button, you get another response. It's magical and not rational. It's artificial, and it's not substantive. And very often, or sometimes, people, even Jews, good Jews, fall prey to more subtle versions of a magical attitude. Nothing magical about Judaism. It's not as if you press this. We blow the shofar, it's not magic. We blow the shofar, we invoke a covenant that Kadosh Baruch Hu made to a man of merit, a man who deserved it. A covenant which his children merit from, assuming they adhere to his lifestyle. It's not magic. We sit in the sukkah, you don't get magical schar. You identify with a certain historical event. That identification leads a person closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, to an inner awakening, an inner discovery. And the reward is a result of that development, of that transformation of self, of consciousness. It isn't some magical act. You do this, you get that. You do that, you get this. And that's really the first discrepancy or difference between the Bilams of the world, the Kosem, the Ksamim, and Am Yisrael, Lahavdil, its Korbanos. Bilam, in one of his Nevuos, recognizes, he says, he recognizes that Judaism is not based on magic, predictions, sorcery, wizardry, and he is really someone who is immersed in that world. And at some point, Bilam actually utters Tamos Nafshi Mosi Sharim, he desires a lifestyle that would be more similar to the Yashrus that Am Yisrael expresses. But there's a second feature. There's a second difference between the religion of Bilam and his Ksamim and the religion of Am Yisrael. And I go back to that pasuk which I said a moment ago, Perek Chav Gimel, pasuk Chav Gimel, Kilo Nachash B'Yakov, V'lo Kesem B'Yisrael, Ka'esh Yamel Yaakov V'l Yisrael, Ma Pa'al El. Bilam wasn't just a magician, he was a prophet. Prophets speak about the future. They also speak about the present. They speak about morality, speak about ethics, speak about religious commitment, religious adherence. Most of Bilam's prophecies, especially towards the end of Parshas Balak, speak about the future. He's a Kosem Ksamim. He wizards, he employs magic to predict the future, to be Menachesh. The Torah writes several times, there's an Isser of Lo Senachashiv. There's an Isser of trying to predict the future based on capricious or incidental events. If a person sees a deer walk in the street, says, well, today's going to be a good day, I'm going to launch a business venture. A person sees a black cat, today's going to be a bad day, bad luck. Most of these types of predictions based on capricious events are simply prohibited. It's an Isser min HaTorah. You're allowed to say, oh, it looks cloudy outside, it's probably going to rain, I'm not going to go on a picnic. That's not predicting based on irrational or capricious events. That's prediction based on scientific data. But to say, I walked under a ladder, the mirror broke, all these black magic, hocus pocus, voodoo. These are asim min ha-Torah, lo sinachashu. Some say it's asim mid-Rabbanan, but this is machlokas exactly what falls under the rubric legally of lo sinachashu. But clearly, conceptually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in us trying to predict the future. Kilo nachash b'Yaakov, v'lo kesem b'Yisrael. What's the difference between a religion which is dependent or almost obsessed with predicting the future and our religion? Well, part of it stems from an interesting pasuk in Parsha Shoftim. Part of it. In Parsha Shoftim, not Sefer Shoftim, in Parsha Shoftim, the Torah repeats some of the Isurim regarding kosein, magic, sorcery, necromancy, consulting with the dead, and related types of experiences. And in Parsha Shoftim, the Torah concludes with the following pasuk. Lo yimatze b'cha, perak yudches, pasuk yud, lo yimatze b'cha ma'avir b'no v'ito ba'esh, don't sacrifice your children to Moloch, kosein k'samim, don't be involved in all this black magic and paganism, me'onein, me'nachesh, me'chashev, consulting with the dead, performing black magic, me'chashev, chover chover, shol ovi yudoni, derish of amisim, seances and the like, ki tov as Hashem kolosei, these are abominable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These were the customs and the practices of the inhabitants of Eretz Kinan, whom Hashem evicted. Then the Torah concludes, Tamim tiyeh im Hashem elokecha. Tamim tiyeh im Hashem elokecha. Instead of being obsessed with the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands two attitudes. One attitude. The future is unknown. You shape the future. Person has absolute and complete, unlimited Bechira Chavshis, one of the basic principles of Avodas Hashem. The Rambam includes his description of Bechira Chavshis in Hilchos Tshuva, because it's so central to the human condition, so central to human experience. Nothing is preordained. Nothing is predetermined. There may be certain proclivities in human nature that create or pose certain challenges that are different from person to person. One person has an inclination to this trait, one person has an inclination to that trait. But the Ribbono Shel Olam delivers moral will, human willpower. He expects us to impose will, to determine our fate, to author our future, rather than accept our world in a passive state. There are events which may challenge us in certain ways. We may not have the amount of money we want, we may not have the health we want, but those are not the crucial factors of life. The crucial factors of life are who we are, and what our value system is, and what our behavior models. And those aspects of human experience are completely, completely influenced by human decision and human free will. A kosein k'samim, a menachesh, is always trying to predict the future because he feels a victim of fate, a victim of future, unable to determine and dependent upon this prior knowledge, this foreknowledge, in order to chart his steps and to determine his path. And our path is determined by ration, by value, by inspiration, by leadership, and by a recognition and a confidence that we have absolute freedom to chart, to make decisions, and a willingness to employ that freedom is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's demand and expectation of humankind, and a withdrawal from that expression runs contrary to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interest. By empowering us with Bechira Chavshis, Hashem wants us to make choices. And this is precisely why magic, prediction, and sorcery is legislated so harshly against. Tamim Tiyem Hashem Lokecha. But the second aspect of Tamim Tiyem Hashem Lokecha speaks not only to our employment of Bechira Chavshis, but also to a basic level of Emunah and Bitachon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. An obsession with the future reflects an insecurity. You feel helpless. You feel unallied. No support. No master. No coordinator of human history and of national or global history. Is that the attitude for a Jew to have, to be constantly obsessed with what tomorrow will bring? Chazal spoke harshly against this. Chazal have a phrase which they utter often, Hayom la'sosam u'macha l'kabel shcharam. We live today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathes life into us. He expects us to perform mitzvahs, to study Torah, to perform chesed and daven to the best of our capability, given the resource of life that He's bestowed us with. And we'll worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. Part of the reason that the Torah never expresses its vision of apocalypse of the Messianic era, except in Parshas Balak, where Bilam now, Bilam is the only prophet to discuss Akhrit Hayom. It's not incidental. Because Jewish prophets rely upon the advent of Akhrit Hayom, know that it will happen, but aren't obsessed or fixated with delineating its exact details. There are some prophecies, but not in the Torah. Tamim, Tiyam Hashem Rokecha, the Ramban writes, to have an Emunah Shlema, have simple and unabiding and inalienable belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to feel as if you constantly have to consult and forecast and foreshadow and predict. Hayom La Sosam, Umacha, Lekabel Shlema.